for someone who's been following racial justice politics for a long time, I wasn't surprised, and we've been seeing a more conservative backlash within the Chinese community to a range of equity measures, including affirmative action, which we see as problematic. And so I think some signs of this division had appeared in the years before the Officer Liang case in the death of, and the killing of Akai Gurley.
What are some of the things that Apano did to, promote dialogue? And I don't know, what did you do?
You know, early on when the case came into the public domain, we were listening to other Asian American Pacific Islander groups across the country. And we have organizations that we stay in touch with who are based in New York, where this was all happening. And in many ways, we took their lead. We both listened to the voices of community organizers in the New York City area. We took time to discuss internally within the organization about signing on to some public statements of support for Akai Gurley, and really recognized the need for us to use this political moment to stand publicly and visibly out on the issue, because we really felt like it was aligned with our values as an organization. We also knew that that would open us up to being targeted, potentially. And we published two open letters that were part of a larger national open letter through our communications in 2015. However, the third one we published this spring on the heels of the local Chinese American rally that happened at Pioneer Square definitely got us on the radar with other Chinese American folks, particularly from the West Side. And so out of that, we ended up having more dialogue. So in addition to tonight's event, we've had a number of internal staff conversations, board, and with our members, and particularly with our young people, our youth organizing programs. But tonight's a really interesting opportunity for us to go even deeper, and by having members discuss with members about what does this situation mean for us and mean in this local context of Oregon.
What, do you consider that there are tensions between the AAPI community and African-American community within Portland?
I mean, frankly, I think there's tensions between all of our communities a lot of the time, and I think communities of color in general are pitted against each other, in part to distract from the systems of oppression, the way whiteness and white supremacy and the way systems are designed to benefit white people at the expense of people of color really necessitates communities of color not getting along. I think specifically between Asian American and Black communities in Oregon and Portland, I'm not familiar with any large-scale incidents that have really galvanized and created crisis or tension between our communities. Apano, since we were founded in the late 90s, has made it a part of our mission to really work very closely with the African American and Black community. And so we have sought ways to build an ongoing relationship, think about sharing resources, how to share whatever access and power that we have, and find ways to build alliances that are based on values with the African American and Black community. But that said, we've just, I think, touched the tip of the iceberg, and not all Asian American Pacific Islander organizations, I think, have that same mission. And I think part of our job is actually to support the education and the awareness of other Pacific Islander and Asian American groups to see their issues as connected to the struggles of African Americans here in the state. I have no doubt that the Chinese American protests that happened downtown at Pioneer Square, despite some of the best intentions to build connections with the Black community, did create more division for us and more, and it portrayed, I think, the Asian American community largely as in opposition, maybe, to the interests of Black lives. That was partly what led us to choose to publish the third open letter that was more specifically written by us. And we paid a price in terms of Chinese American folks on the West Side being very upset about our public stance that was counter to what their position was, that Peter Liang was a scapegoat and that he deserved leniency, which we principally disagree with.
What was that? What was the gist of that letter?
That, you know, this is definitely a tragic case, but ultimately we want our justice system to be held accountable when officers maim or hurt or kill someone in the line of duty, that they need to be held equally accountable, and that we shouldn't be making any special cases just because Peter Liang is Chinese American in this case. You know, we don't believe that he was given a consequence that was disproportionate to the crime, and we disagree, you know, with any kind of leniency, any kind of call for leniency for Peter Liang. We would much rather want to see us work together to change the overall system, and I think that there are, that was part of the message that the Chinese American protesters here in support of Peter Liang were trying to articulate, but a lot of that I think gets lost when you're trying to also plead for leniency for this one person in this one case, and it makes them an exception. We thought that that was not fair.
Well, it sounds like you're doing your job if everybody's kind of miffed at you.
Maybe. I mean, something that came up today I thought was interesting in our small group is that a lot of folks really struggle with feeling ownership around taking leadership as Asian Americans or Pacific Islanders in Oregon because they're new, because they're not from here. I grew up here. My father's Chinese, my mom's white, and sometimes I still don't even feel like I have the foundation of speaking from the community. Excuse me.
Can you start again? Sometimes
I feel like I don't have the right foundation to speak for the community. But then I have to remember, I guess, two things. One is that no one ever speaks for the community. And secondly, in the last 10 years, 1/3 of all Asian American Pacific Islanders are new to Oregon. That our population is growing so much that 1 out of every 3 Asian American Pacific Islanders in this state are new. So being someone who is new to this community, who has immigrated here from another state or another country, shouldn't rule you out from having a say and having a voice. And so I've been really encouraging, especially our young adults who may be coming here because their families are coming here for school or they're coming here for jobs, to really begin to develop a deep sense of ownership in terms of having a say in the future of who the state should and could be.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dina.